today's podcast, Design for Life. This is the fourth in the series titled, A Firm Foundation. Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should it be lived that way. This podcast is taken from the Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk, and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. Here is Pastor Jim with this week's message, Bullseye.
1938, classic movie. Maybe you've seen it. Came out in Technicolor. Remember those days? The Adventures of Robin Hood. The Adventures of Robin Hood, classic, starring Errol Flynn. Remember the story in midstream there in the story, Robin Hood goes undercover in order to enter and hopefully win the great Royal Archery Tournament. And the winner receives the golden arrow, as well as a shot at Maid Marian. That's what he was really hoping for. And in the movie, there is actually footage of a perfect archery shot. If you go back and dig this one up, The Adventures of Robin Hood from 1938, the archery tournament narrows down to two guys. Remember the story? It's Robin Hood, who's in disguise, and he's shooting against his competitor, who shoots a perfect bullseye, dead center in the target. And Robin Hood does what? You've seen the movie, haven't you? He splits the arrow. That feat was actually accomplished not by Errol Flynn. He had to learn from another expert the right way to hold the bow and to shoot an arrow. And it was accomplished by the man who, in that movie, was the captain of the archers, was his title in the movie, played a secondary role. In fact, he was and is considered to this day the king of archers. His name was Howard Hill. Back in the 20s and the 30s and 40s, he was the most acclaimed archer in America. He won 196 archery tournaments, championships in a row over a period of who knows how many years. Never lost. Howard Hill. He was notable in that he had traveled the world and had shot some 2,000 different trophies. This is back in the safari days. The greatest of which was a 10,000-pound bull elephant, which Howard Hill shot with a 150-pound pull bow. Boy, you try pulling back 150 pounds. Necessary in order to penetrate the armor of that elephant with a 40-inch arrow. Howard Hill. What a guy. He was featured in over 30 films by Warner Brothers. Continued as a side actor on the side. He also developed or did numerous documentaries on archery. That was his thing. And in fact, two modern archers, more recent archers, were motivated by Howard Hill. Fred Bear, our local archery hero from Grayling, and Byron Ferguson. Byron Ferguson today is the number one trick shooter. Trick shots in archery. In fact, if you've been to one of the outdoor, what do they call those, expos, maybe you've seen Howard Hill. I've met him. Met him in Kalamazoo a number of years ago at a traditional archery expo. Neat guy. Byron Ferguson, that is. The other, I don't think, needs introduction. At least some of you know who Fred Bear is, don't you? Maybe you're shooting one of his bows. Fred Bear, as I said, our local archery guru. In fact, he's the grandfather of modern archery movement. It was Fred Bear who lobbied Congress, boy, I don't know, back in the 40s, I think, in order to put together an archery season in Michigan. And Michigan became one of the premier archery states, and in fact, all the other states in America followed suit, thanks to Fred Bear's efforts. And Fred Bear, in fact, was influential in somebody that many of you know well. Our own local Jean LeClaire grew up in that area. Fred was her little league coach and a mentor to Jean LeClaire, who, little tidbit if you know Jean, was potentially on track to be an Olympic archer. She herself was that good at competitive archery. Jean LeClaire, thanks to the influence of Fred Bear. You know, the point of archery, all of us maybe recognize this. In fact, we're missing an archer this morning. I think he tagged one last night. I thought maybe we'd see pictures this morning. Russ, I don't see you here. I don't think he's here today, so we'll have to hit up Russ for the pictures. The point of archery is to hit target with the arrow, isn't it? That's the whole point. Not only to hit the target, but to hit the target dead center, or in what we call the bullseye, right? Jesus Christ does us a great favor because he identifies the bullseye, dead center, the target of life. And in essence, he answers the question, what's the point? What's the point of our existence, of life? What's the basic cause or purpose that we are, that we exist? Billy Graham was once quoted as saying, a life without a purpose is like an unsharpened pencil. Life without a purpose is like an unsharpened pencil. It's pointless. It has no point. And so I want to ask and hopefully answer the question, what's the point? What's the point of life according to Jesus Christ? Why do we exist on planet Earth? To do that, I'd like to point you and I to the direction of Scripture. As always, Jesus tells us if we'll hear his words and apply them to our lives. Do what he says. He says, we will be wise like a man who builds his house on a firm foundation. What's the point? Jesus said, I have come, John 10:10, that you might have, finish the verse, life. It's not capitalized. I'd love to capitalize that. L, capital I, capital F, capital E. Jesus said, that's the whole point of my coming to earth, to give you life, and life in abundance, and an abundant life, a meaningful, fulfilled, or full life that's available by God through Jesus Christ. What percentage of people do you think are living that kind of life? 50%? 75%? Boy, I think we need to turn towards the lower end, don't we? 25%? How many people would answer the question, are you living the abundant life in the affirmative? Boy, I don't know. Life's been tough. I mean, there's all kinds of turmoil and difficulties. Jesus claims the bullseye, the point of your existence is life. It's life. And that's not so easy to acquire, is it, necessarily? Matthew 7, verse 14. In fact, if you have your Bible, you may want to follow me here. Enter through the narrow gate, verse 13. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Boy, that doesn't sound like a good way to go, does it? On the contrary, he says, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life in capitals. And only a few in comparison find it. The Bible states you've got a binary decision. You've only got two options in this world. There's two roads to travel. It's like a fork in the road. You've got to make a decision. You can only go one way or the other. You can't have them both. You can take the broad road. Boy, it's a four-lane highway. It's paved and very comfortable. But it leads to destruction. Or you can take the narrow road. It's a two-track. You ever been on a two-track? Well, we were up at Tequamenon Falls, and we thought, oh, let's go out to the lighthouse there. What's the name of the lighthouse up on Lake Superior? A little map there showing us how to get there. It was a two-track all the way back. Kids are pulling the doors in. You know, we're scooting our way through, I don't know how much sand, and wondering if there was anybody coming behind us for the next week that could pull us out if we got stuck. Jesus says the road that leads to life is a two-track. You can easily miss it if you're not looking for it and wind up on the road that leads to destruction. There's two paths, two destinies, one choice. Choose wisely. You know, the most powerful thing that God has given you is the power to choose. The most powerful thing that God has given you is the power to choose. He's made you a free agent in his image and likeness. You have the power to determine your own destiny. That's a scary premise, isn't it? Why in the world would God take such a great risk with your life and mine? I only have one reason, only one reason. Love. He loves and respects you so much that he's saying, you choose. I'm not going to force you to follow me. You make your decision. But anytime you make that kind of decision, guess what? Your decision will make you invariably choose wisely. Last week, I suggested there's two kingdoms. Again, it's a binary choice. The kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of light. The domain of Satan or the kingdom of God. Every person has been given the freedom to choose. In which of those two kingdoms will you subsist as a citizen? Jesus tells us to choose life. He's pro-life all the way, isn't he? And the reason for that is because he is the source of life. Now, I pulled some passages from the book of John. Great place to go, and there are three L words. If you're interested, when you read John, watch for these three words that begin with L. They're all over the place, more so than any other book of the Bible. You're going to find in John, love. He was the apostle of love. Light. He is the apostle of light. And life. Life. 30 plus times. John highlights Jesus' words about life and living life. Several of you cross-country guys got a study going. I heard your study in John. More power to you. Great place to start out in learning how to study the Bible, the book of John. I was in college freshman year. I proposed to some of the guys in my hall that we start a Bible study. Boy, was that ever needed. And none of them had Bibles. So being the poor student that I was, I went down to Goodwill and finagled a price. I got 20 Bibles for 10 bucks. A little tattered and torn, but they would do. As long as all the pages were intact, we took those Bibles in the study room, never used in my dorm. Nobody studied as far as I remember in that room. It was always quiet. And Sunday nights, we had a study of the book of John. Love, light, life. It's all there. John 1:4. I got three, I think, in the notes there. 1:4, in him was life, and this life was the light of men. There's two of the three right there. And in him was life. Jesus was fully alive. He's the first man ever since the days of Adam to live in the fullness of life. And John says he was the light of men. Wherever he went, he dispelled darkness in people's lives. It was as if when Jesus was there, we could see clearly. It's the kind of man, the God-man that he was. John 6:35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You hungry? Now, he's referring back to God's sustenance of Israel in the desert. Remember that? The manna from heaven? And Jesus told his contemporaries, don't kid yourselves. The manna is me. I'm the one that sustains you, the bread of life. John 10:10, I just quoted, I came that you might have life. That's the reason I'm here, to offer you life, an abundant, meaningful life. John 10:28, I give my sheep eternal life. It's God's kind of life that he's offering you. Our kind of life is bios, biology, the study of life. What God offers is zoos, it's zoe. It's the life of God infused in us. God's kind of life, which is eternal and abundant. At the death of Lazarus, Jesus approaches the grave and says, hey, I am the resurrection and the life. Remember, his sister says, I know that my brother will rise again on the last day. And Jesus clarifies, he actually kind of tweaks her theology. There is a day that we call Judgment Day, the resurrection day, don't we? Jesus says, you're looking at him. The resurrection isn't a day, it's a man, it's me. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, will live again. Whoever lives believing in me will never die. And then he asks Martha, do you believe that? Do you believe it? That's who I am. He told his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You looking for life? Look no further than Jesus Christ. John, as he concludes his gospel, he tells his audience, Jesus did many other miracles that are written in this, or that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have what? Life in his name. Don't you want life? You got to come to Christ. He's the source of life. And so the million-dollar question, actually, it's asked a couple of times of Jesus in the Gospels, from Matthew 19:16. Jesus is approached by a religious leader, and he asks this question, what must I do to have eternal life? Now, this is a trick question. I'd like to turn it on the audience this morning. If we were to poll the audience, what do you need to do in order to find God's kind of life, eternal life, that life that's full and abundant as Jesus promises? What does God require of us in order to acquire that life? Boy, what do you think? What must I do to receive eternal life? He was talking to the man who is eternal life, Jesus himself. We saw this last week, actually. We're talking about the kingdom. It's the free gift of God. It's eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is, it's exactly that. What God offers you and I is a gift. And I have to make the decision. You have to make a decision. It's that binary decision I mentioned before. Which road am I on here? Am I going to take the narrow road, or am I going the easy path? Boy, that's your decision. That's your decision. That's my decision. Choose wisely. As many as received him, John 1:12. Him, Jesus. And I don't know of a verse that it's more clearly stated in than 1 John chapter 5. If you have your Bible, boy, page over to 1 John. You got to go to the book of Revelation and turn left. Just shy of Jude there in Revelation is John. It's the epistle of John, not the gospel of John. He writes his account of Jesus' life, and then years later he writes letters to the believers of that day, which we call 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 and following, John says this, this is the testimony, God has given us what? Eternal life. It's a gift, isn't it? Given by God. And this life is in his Son. You want to know where to locate that kind of life? You got to go to God himself through Jesus Christ. He who has the Son, what else does he or she have? Eternal life. However, notice the next line, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Even though he or she goes to church, even though he or she is a good person, They're a respectful citizen, good neighbor. The life is in the Son. You need Jesus Christ. I need Christ in order to acquire eternal life. Verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. How many of you believe in the name of the Son of God? What does the name represent? Everything that he is, his nature, all the accomplishments of Christ summarized in his name. The devil knows that, by the way. He's going to do everything he can to defame, guess who? Jesus Christ. The apostles told the Sanhedrin, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul writes to the Philippians, his is the name above how many names? Every name. Not only on earth, but he said in heaven, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Boy, they don't, do they, necessarily? We should. And every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Boy, back to college days, pretty flowery language there in the dorms that I lived in. I heard Jesus' name quite a bit, actually. Just wasn't used respectfully. And it occurred to me when I read this verse, no wonder the devil knows the power of Jesus' name. He's going to do everything he can to make Jesus' name something that's used to take out frustration. You know, you drop your books in the mud and you hear somebody say, Jesus Christ, as if he knocked them out of your hands. I have yet to hear somebody say, oh, Buddha, I dropped my books in the mud. I've never heard that. Have you? Or Muhammad or Shinto or some other religious leader. Never heard it. Why not? Because the devil knows there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Jesus. Because there is life or eternal life in only one, just one. It's the one road that leads to life. It's Christ himself, the way, the truth, and the life. He came that we might have life. And if you're lacking, if I'm lacking, God's kind of life, a life that's full and meaningful, it's abundant, it's eternal, is given freely through one man, Jesus Christ. That's the bullseye. That's the point of life. That's what you and I ought to be aiming for in our lives. It's a real relationship with the living God through the Savior, Jesus Christ. That's everything. That's everything. Boy, staying with the archery analogy, I brought a couple of trinkets with me this morning. I don't know if you can see them from where you're seated. Arrowheads. These are twin arrowheads. I found them, same field, for $100. I'll tell you, Larry, what field it was that I found these in. a number of years ago. And several times that I've picked up a field point like that, an arrowhead, I invariably think about, ask the same question to myself. Three things. In fact, I codified this as the arrowhead quiz. Every 4 or 5 years, they throw me in the mix for the baccalaureate at Bronson. And I always go back to this because I think it's an easy illustration. In fact, I give the kids that graduate an arrowhead. I don't go out and find them. I buy the cheap kind online. You know, somebody else etched them out, and I just throw those in with a little card that reminds them of the arrowhead quiz. I think it's significant at the point of graduation. I think it's significant at any point in life to ask these three questions. I pick up an arrowhead the times that I have, and I ask myself, who shot this? What kind of person? What kind of man was he? Number one, that's the first question. The second question I ask is, what was he shooting at? Was he hunting game? I mean, was he shooting at a turkey or a deer? Was he defending his life by a marauding bear? Can you imagine? Or maybe was he part of a skirmish between warring tribes? In the middle of a battle, the heat of the battle, he launches the arrow and I found the head. What was he shooting at? What kind of man was he? What was he shooting at? And the third question, did he hit it? Did he hit the target? In 150, 200 years from now, if someone were to find a relic of your life, they were to pick up something and say, hey, look at this, that belonged to you. And they were to take the Arrowhead quiz and to ask those three questions, what would the answers be? What kind of man or woman was he? What was he shooting at? What was she shooting at? What was the focus, the purpose, the point of his or her life? And number three, did he hit it? What did he or she accomplish as a result? The answer to those three questions depends on you today. What kind of person are you? What's the point of your life? What are you shooting at? And will you hit it? Jesus said the whole point of your existence is life. It's God's life infused in you. It's eternal life. It's abundant life. And it's found in one place, one man. The only source is Jesus Christ. If you miss him, if you miss that, friend, you will have missed everything. God's intention and purpose for putting you on planet Earth, the bullseye, is life. Where you're seated this morning, let's pray. You may need to refocus and you may need to re-aim. Byron Ferguson, this trick archer, he talks about the difference between focusing and aiming. He says you need to aim. The bow will always shoot, according to Byron Ferguson, where it's aimed. But you may not be looking at the right place. Your focus could be off. So I want to encourage you to refocus this morning and to ask and answer the question, what am I aiming at anyway? What's the point of my life? Is it anything or anyone beyond Jesus Christ? I think that's the starting point for everything else. In fact, we saw the verse last week, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said. He's the Son of God come, the ultimate king. And he said, then everything else will be, remember, added to you. First things first. The essential ingredient in life. It's God himself made known through Jesus Christ. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, Jesus said. Many, far too many, travel on that road. Small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. And only a few find it. Make sure you're part of the few. Be sure. If you're not sure, acknowledge that to God. He knows your heart this morning. Ask him to show you the way through Jesus Christ. And offer yourself gladly to follow him. Receive freely the forgiveness of sins that John talks about there. And as a bonus, eternal life. And that only and always through Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, and we ask you to forgive us. It's so easy to draw targets on all kinds of things around us that are secondary, sometimes very trivial, and miss the point, and miss the ultimate bullseye, the life that you have so graciously provided, that you offer all of us. It's found in Jesus Christ alone. And so as we think about the foundation of our lives, we revisit Jesus' words from Matthew, that if we're wise, we'll not only hear, but heed your words. Follow suit. We'll follow your instructions. Put in practice the truth of God as it's revealed in Scripture. Thanks to you for that. And so we invite you, Lord, to help us, each of us, I do as well. Get us refocused on what matters most, on the kind of life that you've designed for us to live, the kinds of people that you want us to be. And as a result, the relationships, the activities, the commitments, the accomplishments that follow. And God, by your grace, in 100 years or 150 years, if someone were to look back and say, what kind of person was he or was she? What was their life about? What was the point of their life? What were they aiming at? What did they accomplish? May the answers be simply that they were followers of Jesus Christ. They lived their lives in light of eternity, eternal life, and the good things that came from their life, from our lives, would give honor and glory, evidence to your reality. Now that's our prayer today, and we ask it, as always, in the name above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thank you for spending time to listen to today's podcast, Design for Life. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, let me encourage you to donate to this ministry. You will find a donate tab at BethelGilead.org. Until then, go out and experience the design for life as God's ambassadors commissioned to a world in need of the gospel. God bless.